birthday party over already? They'll be for DJW.
That was quick, wasn't it?
Was it quick, or did you just get there late?
I started at 1 o'clock. It took me till about 15 or 2 or so to get here.
You in the doghouse now?
Kathy and her daughter Lauren rode together, and they got the baby. So they were happy, and me going up doing what we did this morning was all right.
Well, good. Glad you're not in the doghouse.
Doghouse ain't no fun.
Are you in Simpsonville now?
Well, it turns out that it was right at that intersection I told you guys about a while ago, 14 and Pelham.
You're over there at Schlossky's. You stop by and get you a Schlossky's.
An idea. Well, we already headed back now. I should have looked into that before I got in a truck.
I was planning on going over there this weekend. I go about once a month. They're really good.
That sometime. The Del Repeater's doing good over this way, too.
It seems like when you were on 85... I haven't been there in a long time, but going past Pelham on 85, after you get past, like, California Dreaming and you're headed toward Greenville, it seems like there's a dead spot right in that area.
The, what mountain would that be? Roper Mountain, maybe, that gets in the way?
I don't know. We'd have to look at Wyatt's propagation maps to figure out what that was. But it seems like it used to be that way. I don't know if it's still that way or not.
Okay, well, most likely it is because we're still transceiving from the same location, just a little bit taller. That may have made a difference. Don't know. We'll have to drive around and do some testing.
That's a good idea. Or get those guys like Kevin that are all automatically doing a lot of driving around to do some testing.
Better idea because he already has an idea of what the coverage was before. So he could do us an easy before and after.
There is some static on the repeater every time you transmit over here in the Spartanburg area, W2T.
Is it white noise or static?
It's static, not white noise. I mean, this is a little cracking sound that's more like static than white noise.
Mobile right now? Thank you for the report. We're looking for as many pieces of information as we can get. We're going to correlate it all and make adjustments accordingly.
For the last couple of weeks, I have noticed some spots over here in my area where I can normally hit the repeater full quieting that there were a couple of places I went through over here that normally I could hit without a problem. I couldn't even bring the repeater up, period.
We have swapped radio systems. So if you want to try that again at some point when it's convenient and let us know what you find out, we would appreciate it.
Area's on a regular basis, so I'll let you know if I hear anything. Talk to you later. I've reached my destination. Got to run into the post office here, W2D.
Careful. WD40YH.
See you, Rusty. W4DJW. So did you get anything to eat at that party?
6-1, repeater. The time is 3 p.m.
W4DJW intentionally keying up. Did it reduce its audio, Johnny?
Around, but that was it. When you let go, the volume increased almost instantly. What was your question?
I was just wondering, once I let off, I heard her talking. I tried to key up again, but my radio won't key up on top of somebody else, so I was not successful at keying it back up. But was it acceptable while I was talking? Was she far enough in the background?
You were easy to talk over top of her.
Okay, that's good. That's what I was questioning. Once I unkeyed, I heard her talking. I tried to rekey, and that just didn't work. That's my radio. That's nothing else.
To drop out.
Yeah, mine is a request to transmit, not a demand to transmit. Sometimes it honors my request, and sometimes it doesn't.
Are you going commercial on us?
Is that the way the commercial radio is? Is that the way they work?
Yes, if you keep transmitter on top of a signal that's already present, it goes boop and makes you wait.
Okay, mine doesn't do that. It just doesn't key up. But if you leave it keyed up and then somebody else lets up off of it and it sees that it's open, then it'll start transmitting.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll keep you honest. It'll keep you from walking on somebody, but it won't keep them from walking on you.
We just have to be careful what we're doing. I know we were all excited this morning whenever we come down about wanting to talk, tell what we heard, and kept doubling with each other.
Yeah, you noticed that too? There was a lot of doubling going on this morning. Anyway, I didn't realize how cold I had got up there on the mountain until I started coming down the mountain, and I could start feeling my feet again and feeling my hands, and they started tingling. It was cold up there, but I had so many layered clothes on, I was keeping warm blood pumped to them, but they were still getting cold.
Got to get you some more clothes then. I had on my regular clothes, long sleeve shirt with a t-shirt underneath it, and two pairs of coveralls. The doubled up coveralls really worked good.
I saw those coveralls when you were getting out to open the gate, and I thought about, I used to have a bunch of pairs of coveralls like that for working on cars and stuff like that. And then I had a really thick pair that I used for riding the motorcycle. I think I still have that one. One of the legs that the side the muffler was on, though, the materials kind of melted. Because of hugging that motorcycle when it's 8 degrees outside with that suit on, it eventually melted the pants leg on the inside.
Up against the exhaust system. Yeah, what works really well is to get the lightweight coveralls, get a pair that fits you pretty close, and then get a pair that's a size or so too bigger than the first pair. And as the temperature drops, you just add another layer. The nice thing about them is they're monolithic, so they're open from the top to the bottom, or bottom to the top, whichever way you want to look at it. So all your heat stays in. You don't have the belt line cutting it off.
Yeah, I don't think I wore a belt with those things either. Back when I used to wear them, I wore blue jeans, long handles, blue jeans, shirt, sweatshirt, and then those things on top of all of it when I was working on cars in the wintertime. That kept me, that and working, you know, keeping moving kept me pretty warm back then. But I was a lot younger back then. My blood vessels flow more easily than they do now.
Yeah, age makes a difference. A lot of things that you look at and go, man, I can't believe I used to do that.
Yep. Well, it sounded good. You sound a whole lot better when I'm in my house. I can hear you a whole lot better than I can in my car with all the road noise. But sounds good.
I think what we're going to have to do when we start doing the testing part of it is certainly call on people that are out in the way and not rely too heavily on mobile units and walkie-talkies.
Yeah, that squelch tail's pretty short, though. That's only 150 milliseconds, a squelch tail.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I guess after you get used to it. A lot of other repeaters are that way, too. They've got pretty short squelch tails.
Working commercial rate repeaters a long time ago, and they got real short squelch tails with no tone.
Well, the way it works in Sweden, it's exactly the opposite of that. Their squelch tail is referred to as bringing the repeater up. So they bring it up, and then it doesn't go down. It just keeps transmitting. It receives and transmits while it's up. And it might do that for 10 minutes. And then people just use it, and there's no up and down. It's just like a telephone line. You just talk on it or you don't. There's no keying it up or any of that stuff. Got to be a lot less wear and tear on their systems, and a lot less heating up the finals and cooling them down and heating them up and cooling them down. I guess they've got good, really good heat sinks, too, to dissipate that heat.
They'd probably have to. Not too energy efficient, though, if you were operating on batteries.
Well, that's true, too. I don't know what they do about that, but there's no kerchunking ever. It's either there or it's not.
Look at that. See how it works out?
I did kind of want to try it for a little while, just see what, you know, the way other ham radios and operators in other parts of the world use their radios. You know, that you never can tell. Could have been they had a better idea than us.
The up and down would be beneficial to the electronics, or the lack of, I should say. What would you do? Fix it so if you brought it up, it stays up for 5 minutes and then goes back down?
Yeah, that thing that we call a squelch tail, they call it repeater on and repeater off, right? So before they use it, they have to turn it on. So you can either just key it and let go, or you can key it with a tone, or you can use an FSK tone or a AFSK tone or DTMF tone. They always have some way of turning the repeater on. And then once it's on, it stays up for like 10 minutes. And 10 minutes after nobody's using it, it shuts off.
Well, in our case, when you brought it up the first time after it's been off, it would come on and stay on. Is that what you might try?
Yeah, that's like an automatic on. You can turn it on and start using it at the same time. Whereas the way they do it, I had to add a special code that says, I think they call it flank. I had to flank that functionality so that it would drop, so that it wouldn't stay up. And then I had to set how long we wanted the squelch tail, and they don't call it squelch tail either. They call it something else. But effectively, it turns out to be the same way. You turn off their functionality, and then you give it a tail.
A squelch tail of 5 minutes, and that way it would stay up that amount of time.
Yeah, or just take the flank out, and then it's a different variable that determines. Then it's repeater timeout, is what they call that.
Well, since the radios have a built-in timeout timer, you could set them for the same.
Yeah, but we worked around that, remember?
That one was worrisome.
Yeah, so that's a... I'm wondering if that rebuild got that fix in there. I guess we'll find out, won't we? I don't know. That rebuild was fast and furious. I could have missed a few things like that.
It'll be a problem at net time.
Hey, Wyatt.
Hey, Dave.
It is 37% copied over there, and its ETA says 20 minutes. For the root, which is, I think, the one that you want. Yeah, then after that, I have to uncompress it, and that turns it into double its size, which is 120 gigabytes. And that'll take a little while. Compression takes the bulk of the time. Yeah, go ahead and take a nap. It's going to be a little while.
I don't have anything that big. Everything I got is 32 gigs, so I just have to go in there and root around. All right, get you in a little bit. Get you 4CDD.
I'll keep an eye on it. And start the uncompressed command once it's on the backup server, which is a Windows server, so it can't work in Unix on that. So I'm taking it over to a Unix server, and once I get it over there, I'll uncompress it, and then I'll mount it, and then you can redo all the rooting around you want.
Passed out on us.
I would concur, and probably wore him out up there on the mountain.
Get all that standing around and catching stuff coming off the roof.
I'd like to get that Lincoln radio working.
Concur. I want to see that work really bad.
I have to root around in that image anyway. When I was sending it the command to disengage A2, it wasn't taking the command. I don't know what happened there. That wasn't something I had done since the rebuild.
I think there's some stuff that needs to be done in the software before we could put it on. You think it's all antenna?
I think there's some more software stuff that needs to be just checked out. Maybe it's not enabled, and it needs to be enabled.
When you want to go do that?
I can do that from here, because last night I shut everything down, and I took a full backup of everything and put it in the image file, two image files, one for this SD card and one for the mSATA card. And I can mount those on another system and do some rooting around in there and figure out what that is. And then it's just a matter of going up there and doing it. You don't have to go up there and troubleshoot. You just go up there and do it.
Well, all right. When you want to make another trip, maybe a couple of weeks?
We'll see how – that depends on how it goes. It's going to go into net mode and come out of net mode, and it's going to do some several other things like that. We'll just see how it handles all the transitions throughout – a day and a week and a month and go from there.
We're getting close to being ready to build a permanent solution.
Still need to be able to figure out how to get some internet up there, though. Somehow, some way.
Yeah, I know. We'll go punch a hole in the fiber optic cable and tap into their internet.
They do on-site testing with what I was looking at before, or did you just look at maps, KG4WNP?
Is that a question for me?
Question for whoever has the answer, I suppose. when we looked at the solution before, it was the determined that the line goes right over the build-in for providers. And I was wondering if that was based on on-site testing or if it was just looking at maps.
Yeah, that's just W4DJW. That's just looking at vendor maps, looking at each vendor's where they say their coverage is. And I imagine they do their coverage in a very similar manner to way Wyatt did ours because they look the same. and you can set one red and one blue, and then you can see where one's covering and what if one covers holes the other one doesn't cover.
I get some coverage when we're up there, depending where I am, obviously. But I had brought it with me, and I didn't try it today, but I have another cellular device with better antennas than a cell phone, and I was going to try it, and I didn't, but I could stop by there on my way home and try it if we think we need to. KG4WNB.
Can that be a hotspot?
This particular one is not. It would just be USB into a laptop, but I mean, it's the same idea. It's no different than the module that would be in, inside a cellular router or, what's in a laptop. It's in a box for USB with external antennas.
I'll have to play around with something like that to figure out how it's working. I was just thinking if we could Wi-Fi over to that from the repeater, have the repeater Wi-Fi into that and use it as its gateway. And then that has internet connectivity, then that could be its gateway to the internet.
A particular device, I'm not saying it would be that. I'm just saying it's equivalent to putting a router up there that either has an external cellular device connected to it or a router that has cellular built into it, either way. But the concept would be the same. You have a cellular device. And then it would be a matter of having appropriate antennas to get what you need.
Anything like that's worth a try. I think appropriate antenna pointed at the right location, in the right location, is key to success for that.
Things like that, you can always replace the antenna it's attached to. I mean, the fancier you get is it swapping out to be a, real antenna on a mast, directionally pointed at exactly where the closest tower is.
Like a dish pointed at the closest tower.
I noticed when I was on the roof that I had a pretty decent cell signal. Maybe we could stick a Yagi up there and put, you call it a hotspot in a box underneath it.
It's possible. We could use the maps to determine the closest, cell tower for whatever provider. And then, you just point those at it. But obviously the lossiest part is coming from the cellular device out to the antennas. You want to keep that as short as possible. And the idea would be that would be your just Wi-Fi from that point.
Yes. How far would a Wi-Fi reach from the repeater, Dave?
Well, that Wi-Fi is a chip on the board, and antenna and all. So it's not going to reach very far. It would be better to, put a Wi-Fi extender inside the hut that is plugged into and let that be your Wi-Fi with its own antenna. And then, 100 feet, 150 feet, something like that. It's a similar concept, and I think you and Johnny doubled. You won. Go ahead, Johnny.
I hope he did. He's up there close to it. I was asking, can you talk to an access point that could talk to a Wi-Fi transceiver at some distance away?
I think you could get that technology to work, but I think that's a little bit older technology. I think there's newer technology that works a little better and less or more seamless. I did look at everything that AT&T sold, trying to figure out what would be the best for our needs, and everything had a drawback that was a potential killer to the idea. But I'll go back and take another look.
Look at that one that I sent you, the link for, MOFI 4500.
I did find that one, and that did look promising. I'll have to go back and look at that one again, too.
Basically what I'm talking about when I say it, and that's no different than how I've gotten internet at home for years until my device broke. I just have a router. Everything talks to the router on Wi-Fi, and that router then provides a cellular connection for internet. That is an old one, so I'm probably going to end up having to replace it, but that's why I have this different device was a replacement for that, because my old cell modem finally died.
Ethernet cable between the modem and the router?
The modem was directly connected to the router. It was USB, that particular one. But the MOFI has it embedded, so the cellular device is embedded in the router. It's no different than the cards you put in a laptop. And then it has external antennas, which is basically what I have now is this a small USB interface for a cellular chip that would go in a laptop, and then it's in an enclosure and has external antennas.
Your AT&T service standing in front of the repeater.
That's for Dave, because I don't have AT&T. KG4WNB.
W4DJW. Not very good.
Landon's solution, we'd either have to put an external antenna in the feed line, which would be lossy, or we'd have to put the whole thing in a package and send you back an Ethernet cable to the repeater, right?
Yeah, the second option I think would be the best. Hello, Gary.
I had turned the volume up in the truck a little bit.
Taking everybody's report, see what we can get. Landon, whenever you and I doubled, I was suggesting that we got to be careful about any cables outside of the repeater hood, Ethernet cables, anything like that, any remote devices, turning into lightning antennas.
My thought there would be that you wouldn't need it, right? If the router's mounted up there, outside, and it's providing Wi-Fi, then you shouldn't need to run an Ethernet cable to it. You could if you wanted to. The device supports it, is what I was saying. It's got four ports of LAN, built in. But the whole idea would be that over Wi-Fi, it would, assign an address, and it would just be with a Wi-Fi link. But if we want to have a hard link, then you could with that particular device, run an Ethernet cable also, but I wasn't suggesting to do that.
Devil with somebody.
You should go ahead.
380T, can you guys hear me okay? I'm remote.
W4DJW, I hear you just fine.
I've just been listening in to you guys. My name's Eric Hart. I think some of you guys probably know my mom, Mary Hoffkin. Just listening to your conversation, I think I can probably be of some help.
Hey, we're always willing to listen for help. What you got?
The type of situation you're in, I mean, I don't know the physical location of what you're looking at, but there's all different types of equipment you could use to target. I mean, as long as you got line of sight, you would be able to move a wireless signal from point A to point B.
That's what we're looking for. Looking for a provider and the hardware to get internet to a single board computer up on Caesar's Head, where there's a lot of RF up there.
Do you be able to have line of sight from the tower to the Radio Shack?
That's what Wyatt was checking out. I don't know whether he ever, I think he kept looking for a good signal somewhere from some repeater, cellular repeaters. I don't know that he was ever able to find one.
Equipment-wise, it would be pretty straightforward and easy as long as you found a good internet carrier. You would just have like a single Linux device where you would have that internet in there on that device, and then you would just bridge the two networks, a private network, and then have that route established for the public internet.
And what kind of a device was that? It sounded like you said 1X.
Device-wise, it could be pretty much anything. I had mentioned Linux, so just making sure you have an appropriate Linux device that sees both networks, and then you can bridge them.
Yeah, it's a Raspberry Pi, and it's running Linux, so that shouldn't be an issue.
The way he's talking about bridging is, you know, one's got to see both is the one that's providing the connection. It's the same thing as the router I was talking about. It'll do the job. That does both. It's got the cellular in it, and it's providing the Wi-Fi, and then you're just on local Wi-Fi.
And that was a double. And Landon won at the end, but you were both pretty well mixed at the beginning. So whoever was going with Landon, try it again.
Just saying, yeah, the Raspberry Pi device would work. So long as you have that access to the packet network on that same device, then the two would be able to cross.
Okay. But the key is the device that gets the internet up there. Once we get internet up there on something, we can get it to the Pi.
For a modem combination be located?
Be up there. Exactly where you put it's going to depend on signal and the runs you put to provide the cellular connection. Because if you're talking staying with cellular, that's the key to it. Getting the line of sight, like the other fellow was saying. But the router itself is what's providing the Wi-Fi. It is the bridge inherently. Right? It gets the cellular and it passes any Wi-Fi connected to it, that local Wi-Fi network, back out. So it's providing the bridge if you use a device like that. But you can make a device like that, is what the other fellow is saying. Which is the computer that can see both networks. But if you do the router option with the cellular built in, that is providing that bridge already. KG4WNP.
The question is, where would you locate the router modem device? The Pi has a limitation on how far it can reach with its built-in Wi-Fi.
In a real installation, you're going to have to do something different with the Pi on board anyway, right? Because when you put it in an enclosure that's a metal enclosure, temperature controlled, you're not going to have any Wi-Fi to it. You're going to have to run a cable to it for that. So you either then run another Wi-Fi device and put an external antenna on the outside of that enclosure so that it can get out, or you do a number of other options. But it's going to depend in the end on looking at the final install of the Pi, exactly what that box looks like, and then where exactly we have to position things to get the good signal for cellular. I can't really tell you it's going to go right here on spot X, 53 meters away from the other thing yet. We have to experiment.
Almost at the answer to my question. The modem, for the cell phone modem, is going to have to be close to its antenna, which means it's going to have to be outside. So if we did the Wi-Fi modem combination, that unit would have to be outside at the antenna location, correct?
Roof, if you want to use the roof as a starting point, and you want to minimize the run between, you know, it and its antennas. So if you're starting with just the basic antennas that would attach to it, then you might put it in a box and just extend those to the outside the box, because that's not a weatherproof device. It can't be outside. But that would be a starting point. If you end up having to run longer runs to actually put directional antennas on it, well, then you put it in a box anyway. But the first test would be just determining positions with the device, and then we can work on exactly how to enclose it in the location it needs to be in.
You're headed the right direction then. I wanted to use the shortest possible feed line between the modem and the cellular antenna as possible. And most of the commercial systems that are set up like that, they actually have the radio built into the antenna system, and they use power over Ethernet. So that brings the next concern. Anytime we do something like that, we've got to be real careful about making sure the grounding system is monolithic, so we don't generate a path for static discharges to get back into the hardware. Because even if you don't use an Ethernet cable, you're still going to have a power cable go out there.
I understand what you mean. And that was stuff that we were already going to have to be looking at anyway for some of the other ideas we had for some other things. So regardless, that's something we're going to have to look into and consider anyway.
That you're aware of, that does the cellular modem to router built in have external antenna connections for the modem side?
I do. That's what I'm saying. It's a contained unit that already provides all of that. So it has two antennas that are for the Wi-Fi, and it has two that are for the cellular, and you can put high-gain ones on it.
Like a potential solution for the time being. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, as long as we can get the signal to it. And how would you ground that, though, before it came in to the repeater hut?
I would look at some MOV-type technology that we could pass the Ethernet cable through at the tower end and also at the repeater hut end so that we could just go ahead and use the power over Ethernet and not have to worry about running a separate cable, provided his router will run on that. If it don't, we might have to run a power cable. Lana, do you recall what it takes for supply power?
Sure, it was 12 volts, obviously, and normal applications where you'd use it, that would be a, you know, wall wart converter, but pretty sure it was 12 volt DC.
We could send that over the Ethernet cable. Let's see, there's only two pair that actually gets used, so we could use the other two pair in parallel and use some of the 24 gauge stuff I know of that we've got at work, some of that. I think you can get it with even larger conductors, but at least 24 gauge, that should handle the current.
Okay, so who's buying what, when, and when are we going to go set it up?
Well, that might be jumping the gun. We could maybe just do some tests with cellular first. Or if we wanted to, I don't have another device working with my existing router that does effectively the same thing yet. But I'm hoping I might be able to get this replacement device I got working with it, and then it could be used as a test. But it's you're looking at about another $300-some-odd for that particular one I was talking about.
That and the cable and the power over Ethernet converter inside the hut, and then the thing that takes it to ground before it comes in the hut. And then enough Ethernet to get it up about 100 feet on the tower? Are we on the same page?
I got you covered on the cable. Don't think we'd have to go to 100 feet. I had a good cell signal up on the roof of the building this morning, and that was Verizon. So we probably wouldn't have to go too much higher in order to get a signal if we used Yagi's on the cell phone side and point them at whichever cell site you guys determine you want to use. We'd be covered. The power over Ethernet thing you're talking about won't be a converter. If we do it like I was talking about, what we would have to do is put DC 12 volts on the pair of wires that are not used in the Ethernet cable and send it all up the Ethernet cable. We would just have to test to make sure we didn't have any problems with crosstalk or interference that would prevent the Ethernet from working while 12 volts was combined with it.
Okay, so I went to Amazon and I found a Mophie 4500 4GX LTE SIM4 combo. And it's for AT&T or Verizon. Is that what we're looking for, Landon?
Renew, that's the one I was talking about. And I had emailed you a link to it earlier also. So all the extra stuff on there, basically they have a combo option. That's probably what you're finding on there. The combo option comes with high gain antennas for the cellular side of the modem. Obviously, they're SMAs designed to connect directly to the device. So, you know, when we talk about permanent installation, obviously we'll have to make some changes there. But all that is basically what I was talking about before. It has an embedded cellular modem in it that's no different. I don't know exactly which chip it is, but it's no different than the M2 modules or the, you know, mini PCIe modules that you get that go on a laptop. And it's got SIM card. You put a SIM card in it, and then it's providing that, and then it runs the connections from that board to the external SMHX.
And looking at the photo, it's got one wide area network connector and four local LAN connectors, and then the power connector, and then four antennas. And you can get different, they've got different types of antennas that you can put on it. But I think we ought to go ahead and pull the trigger and get some of that stuff up there and see if we can get a connection.
I might be buying one of those relatively soon anyway for home if I can't get the device that I have now that I just got working with my existing router. The existing one I have is very old, so it doesn't support everything, and if I can't work around that, the alternative was always that I just tried to take the roll-your-own approach first. And I do have it working already as long as I plug it directly into a laptop. I just don't have it working with the router yet. But basically what you're looking at there is the same thing I already have, except mine does not have external antennas built onto the router, and you put the cellular modem external. But that's what I've used for years at home. KG4WNP.
And then you go to your service provider and say, hey, give me a card for this thing and add it to my monthly bill. Is that the way that works?
But now that's the way that works because they're SIM card based. So basically you can buy all of the hardware you want, get it all put together, and then you just have to get a SIM card. And you, if it's Verizon, right, they want the IMEI number, so you pair the IMEI number to the SIM card, you know, and then you put a SIM card in it. In the old days, you know, there were embedded devices that didn't take SIM cards, so you had to have the actual specific device, not just its number. Mine was a USB stick that had the cellular modem in it. It was 3G, could do EDO broadband, but not 4G. And it plugged via USB directly into a computer or directly into my router on a USB port. And then it had an external antenna jack, and I had an antenna on the roof run out through the window. And then it provided Wi-Fi, KG4WNP.
So what is your gut feeling on what's our percent success, percent probability for success? 50-50, 40-60, 20-80? What do you think?
With the unit off the shelf, probably 60 to 70 with effort put into making it work, you know, close to 100. Because in the end, the key to it all is getting a reliable cellular broadband signal. And that may require directional antennas and all of that, and knowing exactly find the closest tower, actually aim them there, doing all of that. But that's the bottom line. The key to it is having a stable broadband cellular signal. Everything beyond that is just things we'd have to work around. But just getting it off the shelf to do it, yeah, it's going to be a little lower, you know.
So in addition to this, I need to hunt for a Yagi, 700 megahertz Yagi, or two 700 megahertz Yagis and stack them?
A while ago might be able to help us with the antenna system.
That's true. And if you're on, looking at it on Amazon, just scroll down to the related links for it. What you're going to find there are external antennas specifically designed for what we're talking about. Directional antennas you buy and you hook to it. And there's going to be two of them because that's the way those devices work. You know, they have a main and an auxiliary, two antennas. But if you look at the also bought by or also look to related links, whatever, right there on the page on Amazon, you're going to see antennas for that.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. There's a Max Mostcom MOFI 14500 cellular 4G LTE. So that looks like a Yagi inside a plastic wrapper. So we'd need two of those.
Go up there with some cell phone technology and make sure that the fuzzball don't interfere. I know there's spots out there that you can stand that there's actual RF interference that causes a cell phone to quit.
Well, they've got a quad band, a quad antenna, four antennas pointed in one direction. So the MOFI's like $330, and the antenna or antennae are $700. This is getting kind of expensive.
It goes up from there. The antennas are the most expensive part, but even if you try to roll your own with a chip, I was still in at the 130 mark or so, just buying USB-capable adapters, you know, and that doesn't provide any router. So really, the MOFI unit is a reasonable price for what it's providing compared to other things I've seen out there. But yeah, once you get into directional external antennas, you know, for outdoor, yeah, it gets expensive.
So rather than four Yagis, wouldn't it be better to get a dish, one of those long-range, high-gain, parabolic dishes?
Wyatt might be able to chime in more on some of that because he's looked into some of that. But the one issue you're going to have with that is that if you're buying a unit like that MOFI, right, there's a limit to how much gain you can run on the antennas, and that has to do with the cellular device that's embedded in it. Most of them have a spec on, you know, what's the max gain antenna you can connect to it. And the higher you want to have, that's when you start rolling more over into commercial stuff rather than consumer stuff. KG4WNP.
Here. The other issue you'd have is, as you see, those pairs, they're designed to work with multiple antennas. If you go down to a dish, it needs to be able to work technology-wise. Never tested that.
Is that a phasing issue? They've got to be in phase?
Be a part of the communication. So it's using one of those specifically for receiving and one for transmitting.
The one I'm looking at is multi-in, multi-out.
Or translated into a single dish.
Yeah, you'd have to have more than one, and then they would have to be phased. It gets complicated, huh?
Wise. It sounds like it could go the route that we're talking. I think that's probably a safe bet. Ultimately, all you need is something that can be a USB interface into your Raspberry Pi that has that SIM card and supports an external antenna. That's your base requirement, and that would probably keep your cost low.
And that one would have the most loss in the coax, right, or the transmission line.
Thanks.
Biggest issue with that is the small ones, like the unit I have, you could actually test with it if you wanted to at some point. You know, you'd plug that right into the Pi, and you'd be able to get on cellular, you know, get on the Internet with a cellular signal. But the chip inside is where you're going to be limited in the consumer market because, like I said, it's equivalent to what's in a laptop, and the antennas you can attach to those is a limiting factor. We could probably find out what chip's in the thing like the MOFI, but that's the biggest difference, again, between, you know, the consumer-type stuff or lower-range stuff and what's commercial is really the infrastructure side of it and how much you can ramp it up.
Go ahead, Johnny, W4DJW.
Not direction. What about if we just got a cellular modem that doesn't have Wi-Fi? Do they make that and mount the modem outside in a box close to the antenna system and do the Ethernet cable back to the hut?
The short answer to that is yes and no, right? Some of that's what we've been talking about, you know, but you're still going to have the communication interface that you have to get back, and it's not going to be Ethernet on most of the modems. They're either embedded and they're talking at the board level, you know, or they're USB interface. And usually what provides the rest of the connection is the other. But we can probably find a standalone one. I'm sure there's one out there somewhere. That's just probably going to take a little more investigation unless the other fellow there knows of one. KG4WNP.
And it's lesser expense. And since we won't need a router in the modem in order to make it function, there is going to be an Ethernet cable going out there with power on it, so that would take care of the communications and the power to the modem. If we went with a modem only, if it can be had, then we can put the router and all the rest of it in the hut.
Either way, you're going to have to extend some kind of a bus. And if you're talking modem only, the most likely things I think you're going to find is that either you're extending USB or you're putting it in something else so that you can get Ethernet to it, which is basically what the other guy was saying, right? You're putting a computer out there, you know, that can receive the cell signal and then is providing the bridge. So all you're really talking about is splitting the pieces. So, yeah, we could make one, but exactly how far you can split them, I think, is going to be part of the problem because of if it's not co-located to where you can run Ethernet, well, now you also have to have the other computer or whatever you're attaching it to. And now you're back to needing power and, you know, all of that kind of stuff also.
Well, what I was thinking was just a modem only that had an Ethernet connection to it. And if that's not available, then we would go back to what you already are aware of, which is the embedded system. And you're telling me it does not have an Ethernet port, the system you're talking about?
What I said, the MOFI has both. So it receives the cellular signal with external antennas, and it has external antennas to provide Wi-Fi. It also has built-in LAN. So you can run an Ethernet cable to it from the Pi out to it, and then the Pi would then be connected, you know, to the cellular through Ethernet, wired Ethernet. And then you can also connect a WAN connection. So if you were at a location like maybe Bears Mountain, where you could end up getting a wired network, you know, Internet connection, you could supply that to that same device also. And then you could either then come up with a computer, be it the Pi or laptop when you're working on it, and plug directly in wired to one of the LAN ports, or you could just connect to wireless that it provides.
Sounds like the most flexible system.
It's fairly flexible. Again, the limitation is going to be, you know, the gain of antennas that you can do, but and the cost of those antennas, obviously. KG4WNB.
Oh, by the way, this is that microphone that you guys said was a little bit on the hot side. How's it sound?
It is. Can you hold it like a foot away from you and talk?
We'll have to do that on the other repeater.
Yes, you do. You sound just as bad on it as you sound on this one. Hold it about 2 feet. Hold it arm's length away and talk. That's 10 times better. You might be able to bend your elbow about 10 degrees.
Away as far as I can reach.
You can come back to you a little bit. Come back about 25% of what you went.
Okay.
You started out okay, but it sounded like you were bringing it closer to you as you were talking.
Back of it, and everybody's laughing at me.
That's a whole lot better. You can understand it. The other one sounds like it's halfway down your throat while you're talking.
Damn.
That is understandable. It's not muffled to the point you can't tell what you're saying, but it's lower audio.
This is almost 4 feet away.
Yeah, that's a hot mic. That mic is way too hot. You need to go in the configuration and find out how to turn that thing down. That's way too hot.
I'll be configured. It plugs straight into the walkie-talkie. I'm on cross-band repeat.
Okay, we'll just put it on your knee or something when you're talking.
Care of it.
It works. It's just super sensitive.
Be the one I would plant in a room if I wanted to bug everybody.
Yes, it would work very well for that. Now, make sure I got it. We need to get back to figuring out what this thing looks like. What's the ultimate endpoint? We need the MOFI. We need set of those quad antennas. We need the Ethernet cable. And we're going to mount the antennas outside. And we're going to mount the MOFI as close to the antennas as we can to prevent loss. And we need power out there. And we need shelter. Am I on the right track or am I going the wrong way? That MOFI has a DC plug on it. So I don't think you can run power over Ethernet to the MOFI.
Miracles that can be worked with cables.
Is that suffix O, Oscar, Bravo, Charlie, O, K and 4, O, B, C? Do I have that right?
Charlie 3, Alpha, Delta, Tango.
Okay, that was a double. The Alpha Bravo Charlie, go ahead. Go again with your call sign.
Sir, it's Kilo November 4, Oscar Bravo Charlie, KN4 OBC. I've been listening to y'all for a while, and I came across something that I thought might be possibly useful for you. It's a LB1121 from Netgear. It's a 4G LTE modem with power over Ethernet.
I was trying to type that as fast as you were saying it. What, say that model number again.
Limo Brava 1121.
I found that page, and there was somebody that doubled with you. We don't want to leave them out. That other person that doubled with John, go ahead. Okay, that might have been one of us. I don't know. But KN4 OBC is John, just so you know, Landon and Johnny, W4DJW.
Right.
So that 4G LTE modem with power over Ethernet, that's in addition to the MOFI and the quad antennas, or that's just a... No, the MOFI's got a modem in it, too. You're saying this is in addition or replaces all of the other?
You would be able to mount this, you know, either on the roof or up on the antenna, whatever you need. You'd be able to give power to it over Ethernet and run that directly to your switch or Raspberry Pi or whatever you need, and then you'd be able to have a wired connection instead of wireless to go between your Raspberry Pi and your cellular.
And then this has two antennas for pointing at the cell tower?
It appears to, yeah. So you've got the external antenna connection. But yeah, so I guess my thought is it would kind of be in, replace all of that that y'all were talking about and potentially be a cheaper solution, but I didn't see a price on it.
Yeah, I'm not getting a price on it anywhere either. That's what I was looking for next.
About $130 on Amazon, I was just able to find.
And then you've got to find the right kind of high-gain antenna so you don't do what Landon was saying earlier and overdrive the capabilities with too much gain on the antennas. That thing has download speeds of up to 150 megabytes or megabits per second. That's pretty good.
Probably means it has an older module. I'm wanting to say you can get 300 out of... depends on the bus. I think you're at 150 if you're doing mini PCIe. And if you go to the NGFF, which is an M2 style connector, I think you can get to 300, which is what the MOFI was, if my memory is correct, KU4WNP.
Okay, and it's wide area network connection is a gigabit. So that would align with the Pi 4.
Cell phone signal up there to the tower. I would presume that you can get internet access to the repeater or the Raspberry Pi that's up there. Is that right? KN4 OBC.
Doubled with him.
Yeah, John, go again. I did double with you a little bit there.
At the beginning of your conversation, I was trying to figure out what y'all were trying to accomplish. I presumed it was getting internet access up there to the Raspberry Pi at the router. Is that right? KN4 OBC.
That's right. We're running a repeater software solution for the controller. It's called SVX Link, Sierra Victor X-Ray Link. And it's a repeater controller that's defined in software. And we need to be able to make adjustments to it from a distance. So we added some that you can make some adjustments with DTMF tones, but you have to add each one you want. And there's hundreds, if not thousands. All right. So you don't want to manually go in there and create ways of sending DTMF tones for thousands of different functionalities. You want to just be able to log in, change what you need to change and get out. So, Landon, have you done the research on what's the difference between that quad antenna and the single antenna for $85 apiece? Would you buy two $85 antennas or one quad that's $900?
I've not researched them in depth. I mean, I looked at them, but I believe what the quad does is I think that there's a board in there. I don't think it's just four. I think they connect to something. And then you bring them down, because in the end you only have two connections, right, to to a device like the Mophie. So it's a main and an aux, and then internally it's actually basically doing signal comparison between the two. So it checks both, it transmits on one, receives on the other, but it's also checking on four. When you do the four, I don't know if it's doing the, if it's voting. I never dug that far into it, so I don't know if it's using both or if it's just some other kind of mux. So I didn't dig that deep into it because I was hoping at least for, you know, the use case I was looking at that I wouldn't need to go to that route.